Man wrote one time, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Every one of us has a place in us that's void without God. I want to talk to you this morning about God's answer for spiritual hunger. And if you will, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 13. And unless God changes my mind the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching about spiritual hunger, getting more hungry for God, getting more hungry for what God can do in our lives. This is important for us. And I want us to talk about spiritual hunger. I want us to look at what Paul shares, or the writer shares with us in the book of Acts as he's writing about what goes on with Paul and different ones. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, and the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, saying, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. For the God of his people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it, and about the time of 40 years suffered to them the manner of the wilderness. And as he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges in the space of 450 years, and then until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, and the man of the tribes of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. And he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and which shall fulfill all my will. And of his man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming of the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes on his feet I am not worthy to loose. And the men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which they read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in the condemning of him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him to Galilee and to Jerusalem, who in the witness unto the people. And we declared unto you your glad tidings, how that the promises which were made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, and in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more return to corruption, he said unto his wives, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith unto another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto the fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you, the forgiveness of sin, and by him all believe are justified for all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. For behold, you despisers and wander and perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man desire it unto you, declare it unto you.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles sought these words, it might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when his congregation was broken up, many of the Jews, religious proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. He ends up and said, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I want to talk to you this morning about God's answer for spiritual hunger. And I want to talk about the four things that I see in these scriptures today that give us the four essential ingredients of spiritual fullness. First of all, I think in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 15, and after reading the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. First of all, if we're going to have spiritual fullness, we need to be aware that God's initial prescription for your spiritual hunger is the hunger itself. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hungry people do things that nobody else will do. I remember one night I was watching, there was in Africa, the government had all the food locked up. And they had a guy from Britain with the Sky News was there. And he was with these guys, and they were chasing this dude with an AK-47, and all they had was sticks. And every once in a while, that guy stopped shooting back, and you'd see some of them fall. And they kept going until finally they caught this guy. Now, granted, the guy turned the camera when they caught him because I imagine it was pretty ugly. But a few minutes, one of them came back around the door with the keys, and they went and opened the building. And the guy from the British News said, why were you doing this? He said, our families are starving. We're dying anyway. We don't care anymore. We want our family to have food. And they were talking about what they would do, and I realized hunger will make you go up against all kind of odds and go against all kind of things. And it's time some of us in the church really begin to realize the hunger God has for us is the only thing that'll make us desire Him. And when we get a hunger for God, there is nothing in this world that will keep us from finding the presence and the power and the glory of God in our life. The problem is we have decided we've got other things to satisfy ourselves. We become satisfied with things of this world. And what we need to do is realize there is nothing in this world that can satisfy the need of my heart except the power, the grace, and the glory of Almighty God. Because it's in Him I live and move and have my being. Glory. When we're hungry, we eat. Sometimes when we're hungry, He gets the best of us. Ain't y'all ever eaten and wished you hadn't? Glory. Don't look at me like that. Ain't y'all ever eat stuff you didn't like, but you ate it because you want to be a part of the crowd? I never forget, I was in Revival Mobile one time, and I was staying with a couple, and I loved Jim and Ellen real much, and I'd stay at their house when I was in Revival there. There was an older couple, and they just gave me a place in their home to stay, and they were great people. And they went to this particular church, a friend of mine named Tommy pastored there. And we go after church to their house, and this lady had fixed tuna salad sandwiches. Some of y'all know, I don't like tuna salad. I can eat tuna salad, but I don't like tuna salad. But I'm not going to embarrass anybody. And we sat down, and Tommy knew me well enough to know I wasn't going to say a word. And she made the sandwiches, and by the grace of God, she had actually cut them in triangles in half. And I'm thinking, man, I can eat a half a sandwich, and I'll be in good shape. After they go to bed, I'll find something else to eat. And she gave me that half a sandwich, and I covered it with pepper trying to kill the taste. And I got that half a sandwich down, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden Tommy said, man, that's good. I believe I have another. You don't want strip? And he throwed it on my plate. And him and his wife were both cracking up because they knew I didn't want it, but they knew I'd eat it. And I put the pepper on that one, and I'm sitting there eating. And about that time she said, well, there ain't but two left. Here, both of y'all have another. And she throwed another on my plate. I thought Tommy and his wife, Ruth, was going to go under the table. They thought that was the funniest thing. They were both sniggering, carrying on. And you know, John Nellon didn't have a clue. I eat it, And boy, you could tell I was working on that last one. I was getting to the place I was ready to just get up and walk out, but I eat it. The next day, we go to another member's house to eat lunch. And these people I've known for years from other churches and been at their house many times to eat. And I go walking up the steps, and the lady walks out. She says, "I got your favorite tuna casserole." And I'm walking with John and Ellen. Ellen said, "He loves the stuff. Eat three sandwiches last night." She said, "Honey, he hates the stuff. That was the joke last night." But every time they say, "Eat some more," I'd have to eat some more. You say, "Preacher, what's that got to do with us?" We see, we have physical hunger, and it sometimes gets the best of us. But I wonder sometimes if our spiritual hunger don't do the same thing. Come on, church. Physical hunger happens in the body when it needs nourishment. Amen. When we need the touch of God, we need things in our lives. But the only thing we can find the joy and the peace that we're really looking for in this world is through Jesus Christ. But the world's got all kind of things that they'll make you think is going to make you happy. And we try to replace the importance of the hunger for God with the things of this world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why? Because they are the ones that are going to be full. Amen. Why? He's going to tell you nothing in this world will fill you up but the presence of God, the love of God. We are made to walk in His presence. We were made to love Him. And without that connection, we are incomplete. And we can try as we will in this world, but we will never feel the gap in our life without Him. Hello? Our culture has become so financially prosperous that we decided we don't need God anymore. We don't need healing. We got insurance. We don't need joy. Well, we just go shopping. And ladies, that ain't just for you. We got guys, they get depressed, they get the credit card. And they go get more depressed after they get the bill, but they're happy while they're spending. And we have this idea that if we can keep up with the Joneses, we got it made. And we gorge ourselves on the things of this world. And then we just put ourselves in deeper holes of despair and problems because we don't understand that that's not the way to get out. I had a guy come to me one time. He said, "Preacher, I've got a problem." Said, "All my credit cards are maxed out." He said, "I don't know what I want to do. I don't even have money to send the kids to school this week to eat." And I said, "Man, you what you got to do, you got to get rid of the credit cards. You got to find some way to blow up, just get rid of them and pay them the minimum payments or do something, work something out with them. Maybe call a credit counseling company and help you get them counseled down or whatever, but you got to get rid of the credit cards." He said, "I need you to pray with me." And I prayed with him. He called me the next morning. He said, "You ain't going to believe it. I got a letter this morning from almost every credit card. They've raised my limits. Everything's going to be okay." I said, "No, it's not. It's just going to get worse." That's not the answer. But we live in a world where we gorge ourselves on those things: materialism, money, sex, popularity, drugs, alcohol. And we keep thinking we're going to get rid of the problems. We're going to get rid of the trouble. If I can just get another high, if I can just get another bottle, if I can make a little more money, if I can get a little more popular, if I can feed those things. Honey, that is not the answer. The answer is to understand the hunger in my soul. It's not for the things of this world. The hunger in my life, that emptiness that's there, can only be filled by the presence, the power, and the glory of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Secondly, y'all about excited? Preacher done got to point two. Lord. We got to appreciate the magnitude of what God has been doing throughout human history. If you're trying to figure out how God can help you, read the Bible. It's full of stories where God has helped those who were in trouble. And if you read Acts chapter 13, verse 17 through 22, Paul basically just starts to enumerate blessings that God has done for the children of Israel. I'm not going to go back and read them. If they want to pop them up there, you can look at them. But he talks about the deliverance from Egypt. He talks about the things that they've done for them over the years, how they brought them out of bondage and done different things. And church, what you've got to do is go back and look at what God's already done and look at what God's done for people in the past. Even every once in a while, you ought to get down and write down what God's done for you. And as you look at what's already happened and what God's already done, you realize he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that knocked the walls of Jericho down to give the children of Israel deliverance, that same God that made Pharaoh turn them loose and let them out when they were in bondage for 400 years, that same God who made the sun to stand still in the sky so they could defeat their enemies is still on the throne today. And he is still able to do all those things if we could just believe and trust in him, if we could just count our blessings and realize God is still God. He is still the great, mighty, and wonderful God who can touch our lives and heal with his glory. If we just let him, my God is still able. If we could just imagine and realize what God's already done and what he's going to do in the future, what an awesome thing it would be. It's beside the point for me to tell you I love cowboy movies. I like action movies. I'm not going to go watch a tearjerker. I'm worried because my wife sits around. If it ain't a romance movie, it's a murder mystery. She loves to watch them things where people almost got away with it. And she follows that up with asking me how much money she's going to get if my insurance pays off. And I'm worried sometime about what's turning around in her head. But the reality is, we like thriller movies. We like to watch those movies, and guys, I know y'all ain't gonna admit it, but we'll dream about we was the hero. You women dream y'all was the beauty queen he was chasing, so don't give me none of that junk. The reality is we like thriller movies because it gets us enthralled. That's why we like to go to those amusement parks. Meaning not to amuse, meaning to think. We like to go to them places that help us not think about reality because we like to get in there and get on them roller coasters and get a thrill. We like to get in there and get away from it all. That's why we listen to them commercials. Put a little weekend in your week. Because we don't want the week, we want the weekend. We got some folks that they got all they got's weekend. I'm not going there, but some of you need to think about it. If all you got's weekends, you got a problem because sooner or later you run out of money for the weekend. Glory. Hello? They spend all their time trying to get away from reality. That's technically what all that's talking about. That's what all that's all about. But if we can just sit down and realize our reality is only as bad as we allow it to be. If we sell out to God, he can change the perspective of our reality. He can change who we are to being somebody we want to be, somebody we like to be. We don't have to be ashamed of who we are anymore. We don't have to get up worried about what somebody's going to think about us because we understand if God did it then, he can do it now. And because of that, I can understand my reality can be totally different because the God that reached down and changed the reality of so many people. If you look at Job, he lost it all. His reality was bad, but he kept his hope in God. And in the end results, God brought him out and blessed him and gave him everything. Could you say amen? And we've got to get to that place where we understand what God is doing in our life and we understand what God's already done. But now notice this. Daily we've got to come to terms with Jesus. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? In the 23rd verse, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. He goes on to talk about John preaching about Jesus, saying, I'm not him, but I'm coming before one whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Amen. He's going to come. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. What's he going to do? He's going to change your reality. Amen. And can I tell you, church, one of the problems we have in the church world is we have a weekly experience with Jesus, but we don't have a daily walk with him. And we've got to get to that place where we understand it's not about Sunday morning. I was talking to a preacher this morning, and I really felt bad because he keeps telling me, what can I do? My church is falling apart. And he revealed to me this morning, we're a Sunday morning crowd. We don't even have church during the week anymore. I can see some of y'all going, oh, I'm going there. Glory. Go ahead. Everybody's leaving there. If all we have is a Sunday morning experience, then what do we do when Monday and our life starts falling apart? What do we do on Tuesday night when we get a phone call we didn't want to get and we got to deal with something because we're not where we need to be with God? There's nothing in us to help us overcome that problem. What do we do on Wednesday if things go wrong and we find ourselves where we don't want to be, in a hospital or somewhere like that, because suddenly tragedy has come to our lives and we're trying to figure out how to handle it? That's what Paul's trying to tell them. This is not just a Sunday morning thing. This is not just the one time a year when you run to the theater or go down to the synagogue. This is where we need to know that every morning I get up and I get in contact with a God who is able to give me the day. And let me say, this is a day the Lord hath made. I then will rejoice and be glad in it. Could you? I used to have a hard time in school because we'd have these religious freaks. And then we'd have religious nuts. Some of y'all may not understand that, but I had people all the time told me they were Christians, and then they're doing the things I was doing, and I realized they were lying to themselves and me too. And then we had guys like Mark Perkins, who was real. 24/7, 365 days out of the year, you couldn't catch him doing nothing wrong. Aggravated me. He didn't hunger for things. We'd be talking about what we're going to do, and he'd be going, I'm going to go home and pray, and I'm going to church, or they're having a singing so-and-so. And I mean, it used to bug daylights out of me. Hey, why don't you go with me? We're going to revival in Birmingham tonight, or we're going down to Demopolis to revival. I'm going, man, you're weird. But every morning, he did devotion. So we could still do devotion in school when I was in school. And they'd get up every morning, and he'd turn the speakers on in every room, and he'd read scripture, and he'd lead school in prayer. And he'd never fail. The last words out of his mouth every morning was, God, save kids. He bothered me because I couldn't find that wrong with him, so I had to worry about him praying for me. Them other boys prayed for me. It didn't bother me because I knew next week they'd be drinking with me. Hello? I remember one boy come down to my house. Matter of fact, he's my cousin. He came down to my house, and I carried him to a party out at the university, and we got plastered. He drove home, and I still ain't figured out how we got home. I carried him home the next day because he was choir director at a church. He had to get there for choir at 11 o'clock. He woke me up early in the morning, get him to Gudston at about 11 o'clock. I made it, got him there. Went to his house, and he come in. He woke up, lays down that afternoon, takes a nap, wakes up and said, man, you need to get saved. And I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah, you need to get saved. I said, dude, that was my booze you were drinking last night and my dope you smoked last night. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. I never forget, I was going out of his house. I turned and said, I'm an airplane. Hello? I had enough of people like that in my life. And I wonder sometimes where we would be if we got a hold of Jesus every day, instead of trying to make our week off a Sunday morning blessing or Wednesday night touch. I remember going to a church that night. I was dating a girl. Sorry, Frida. It's before we met. She was Methodist. And I walked up on the steps of that church and I told the pastor, because I was really feeling bad about the night before and I thought I needed to do some things to get some things right. And I walked up to the preacher and said, I really need to talk to you. And he said, well, I'm really busy tonight. I've already got a dinner engagement. If you'll talk to my secretary, she's right over there. She'll set you up an appointment toward the end of the week. What I said to him wasn't gospel, but I pretty much told him what I thought about him and his church and his relationship with God. And just to be honest with you, over the years it played out, I was probably right. Might not should have said it the way I said it, but I was probably right. So he ended up divorcing his wife for his sister-in-law, and
Well, he's still a pastor. They didn't crucify him for his life. They let him keep preaching because he's a preacher. He's probably not a Christian, but he's a preacher. Come on, church, nod your head. I'm not judging somebody, but if you leave your wife or her sister and you've been having an affair with her while you're pastoring, you do need to leave the ministry for a while at least. You see, something in me got birthed that night while I was with my cousin that I couldn't get rid of. I couldn't turn it off. I didn't have enough sense to go find Mark. He probably could have helped me. I kept looking for other people who called themselves religious. And you know, God began to realize there was a hunger in me because he kept sending people my way to stir it up. And it seemed like every time I turned around, I'd run into Christians. And the last thing I wanted was to be one of them, but I kept running into them. Finally, my life went down the tube so far I couldn't go anywhere else but down into the eternities without God. I stumbled into a church thinking I was somewhere else, and I got saved. Suddenly, that place in me that was so empty was full. Suddenly, my life turned around, and all of a sudden, I had something to live for, and I got up in the mornings excited about another day. And my whole life changed. And the hunger got deeper because I didn't want just what I had. I wanted more. I wanted to know the God that I'd came in contact with that night that nobody else had been able to help me to find. And I began to dig and dig. I'm not Pentecostal because I was raised Church of God. I'm Pentecostal because I dug in the Word of God and it said it was there. And I went hungering for God. And God filled me at the Cody Church of God to revival one night. And I'm not here this morning trying to tell you that this or that or the other is the answer. I got a God is the only answer. And the power of his word and the anointing of his flesh is the only thing that will ever fulfill the hunger in your life this morning. But we got to come to that place where we understand not only that Christ needs to be in our life every day, but we need to understand our place in the scheme of everything God's doing. See, I'm not here this morning living right because I got to live right for me. And I got to say, I don't have to go to church. But ask anybody that's not in church what they think about people who claim to be Christians that don't go to church. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be in church. I hunger for more of God every day of my life. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be touched of God. But at the same time, there are people looking at me who are looking at the way I act and the things I do. And my place in the scheme of this whole thing is to understand that if I fulfill the hunger of my life with him, then I am able to take what I have of him and deliver to others that they can then see in me the Christ that can change their life. And church, that is why I'm in church every time the doors are open. That's why I read that book every day of my life. That's why I want to pray and seek his presence. Because everybody we pass every day has the possibility of an eternity with God if we can just show them the presence and the power of God in our life. But to do that, we have to satisfy the hunger within us before we can help with the hunger of others. You never know where you're going or who you're going to be around. That's going to know who you are. Come on, church. So you got off on this last week. Might be God wants some of y'all to wake up. Now, I'm standing in the hospital this past week, and this young lady going down the hall suddenly stops. Oh, Brother Stroop! I'd passed her twice and didn't even realize who she was till she stopped and said something to me. She works in the hospital. Young lady that I helped win to the Lord when she'd gotten away from her mom and her dad. And I met her at the Cracker Barrel one night when I was in revival and she was living in Birmingham. She'd moved out. And the pastor and I got to talking to her, and after we got outside, she came out and almost lost her job because she realized her life was so torn up. And we prayed with her.
She gave her heart back to God. She quit that job the next day and moved home. I was scheduled to be at revival with her mom and dad, starting on Easter Sunday night, the 12th of April, 2009. I came pastor this church on April the 5th. I didn't go to that revival, but 2 weeks later, I preached that young lady's mother's funeral. But she came back to know God and feel the hunger of her life. She's working in a church now. You see, we've got to be there because we're part of the big scheme. We're not left here to be blessed. We're left here to be lights. We're left here not to be blessed, but to be blessings. And if we hunger for God like we're supposed to, we can understand our place in the overall scheme of this thing is not that I'm here because I'm going to get something. I'm here because God loves me and because God loves everybody else and he wants to use me to reach somebody for his kingdom. God's answer to spiritual hunger is hunger itself. If we get hungry enough for God, we fulfill every purpose he has in our lives. But as long as we're satisfied with just what we can get by with, we never obtain the goal God has for us. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, I thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. God, I know your power and your grace is sufficient today. Touch our hearts and our lives. God, I believe there are people under the sound of my voice today that are hungry for you. There's a longing in their soul for something greater than they've ever had. And for whatever reason, they've tried to satisfy with the things of this world. But that'll never work. The hunger will still be there. Satisfaction will never come. Oh, if they could just begin to partake of the bread of life and the water of life, their lives would be so, so real. God, have your way in our hearts, our lives.